Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
And he delivered unto them the hands of the Gibeonites, and they hanged them in the hill before the Lord, and they fell all seven together and were put to death in the days of harvest, in the days in the beginning of barley harvest. Thou shalt not kill. No, that commandment was translated incorrectly. Thou shalt not murder. There was righteous indignation here, and these people were killed. Killing is a necessary implement of life. God has it done many, many times. You're reading the Ten Commandments, you get to thou shalt not kill. It is thou shalt not murder. An innocent person shall not be put to death. And Rizpah, the daughter of Ai, took sackcloth and spread it for her upon the rock from the beginning of harvest until water dropped upon them out of heaven, and suffered neither the birds of the air to rest on them by day nor the beast of the field by night. It was told David that Rizpah, the daughter of Ai, the concubine of Saul, had done, and David went and took the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan, his son, from the men of Jabesh Gilead, which had stolen them from the street of Bethshan, where the Philistines had hanged them, when the Philistines had slain Saul in Gilboa. And he brought up from the thence the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan, his son, and they gathered the bones of them that were hanged. The bones of Saul and Jonathan, his son, buried they in the country of Benjamin, and Zelah in the sepulchre of Kish, his father, and they performed all that the king commanded. And after that, God was entreated for the land. Thus ends the heritage of Saul. Israelites will no longer suffer for what Saul has done. His bones have been put to rest. Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel, and David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines, and David waxed faint. Must not be with his heart exactly right at the moment. And Ithbosheth, Ish-bi-bi-nob, excuse me. I've seen that ish, and my brain just, oh, it's Ithbosheth.
Yeah, that common of a name, Dave, come on.
Yeah, I know. I mean, we use that name around here all the time.
All the time.
Ish-bi-bi-nob. You know, of all of them I've seen in here, I wouldn't want that one.
No.
Nob, get over here. Ish-bi-bi-nob, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, he being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. So he's coming out to take David, but Abishai, the son of Zariah, secured him and smote the Philistine and killed him. The men of David swear unto him, saying, thou shalt go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel. You're not the man you used to be. You got a little age on you now, King David. We cannot afford to lose you in battle. Came to pass after this that there was again a battle with the Philistines at Gob. Then Sibichah and Hishathite slew Saph, which was of the sons of the giant. There was again a battle in Gob with Philistines, where Elihan, the son of Jaareogim, a Bethlehemite, slew the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, the staff of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. There was yet a battle in Gath, where was a man of great stature, that had on every hand 6 fingers and on every foot 6 toes, 24 in number, and he also was born to the giants. You know, there were giants all over this world. And in the last century, there was lots of evidence uncovered, bones and skeletons, and they were all collected up by the Smithsonian.
Oh, yes.
And they have since disappeared. But there is folklore through all of the native Indian tribes in America of these giants.
Yep.
And you know how you get Indians holding up the hand on all the movies, how that wasn't a greeting.
Mm-hmm.
That was hold up your hand and let me count your fingers.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Because the Native American Indians got together and extinguished what was left of the giants in North of America. Mm-hmm. There is lots written about it. And when he defiled Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimeha, the brother of David, slew him. These four were born in the giant of to the giant of Gath and fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. Chapter 22, Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible with Jonathan and David on WBFF 97.7. We're in the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 22. And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord hath delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. David is back in good graces with God because not any religious thing that he did, because his heart is following after God. The entire theme of this Old Testament is the heart of man following God. There's no way you can read this Old Testament in its entirety and not come up with the understanding that God wants your heart. He doesn't want your money. He has plenty of that himself. He definitely does not want slain goats and sheep. He wants your heart.
Yeah.
When the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me, surrounded me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter his ears. He doesn't say there, I went to the priest and asked him to ask God something for me. I cried out to God. And you see that after Moses, David was the first one that made total connection with God, heart-wise. That Levitical stuff was put there as a stumbling block because they refused to follow God with all their heart. David made the connection. Forget the priest. I'm going to talk to my father right here from my bedroom. And the earth shook and trembled, and the foundations of heaven moved and shook because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire from his mouth devoured coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly, and he was seen upon the wings of wind. And he made darkness pavilions round about him, dark waters and thick clouds of skies. Through the brightness before him were coals of fire kindled. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. And he sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning, and discomforted them. And the channels of the sea appeared, and the foundations of the world were discovered. At the rebuking of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils, he sent from above. He took me, he drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into the large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanliness of my hands hath he recompassed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. Although he had, but his heart never did. The spirit man lost control, and the flesh and the mind, which the Bible says is contrary to the will of God, took David into that affair with Bathsheba and caused all sorts of problems and curses that exist in Israel even today. But he says, my heart never strayed, never, for all his judgments were before me, and as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. I was also upright before him and have kept myself from mine iniquity. Now, if you understand what you're reading, you're saying, no, that's not what happened. David did bad things. He had someone, he had Uriah murdered. He committed adultery with Bathsheba. There was a child born out of adultery. Lies and cover-ups. But this is a reading of David's heart. This is not a reading of what David actually did. And that's what God is going to judge you by in the end days. What is written on your heart? not what you allow this body to do. If he judges me by what I've allowed this body to do on occasions, I'm done.
Yeah, all of us.
I'm done. I'm completely done.
All of us, Dave.
The first 50 times I read this, I'm thinking, no, that's not true. For all my judgments were made before me, statutes, I did not depart from them. That's not true in the physical realm. But David's, just like we saw Saul, as he was waging war with God, occasionally the spirit man would take control. He would repent and then momentarily repent and say, I'm sorry, I'm wrong, I've sinned. But then he would lose control again and the flesh would take over. This is a reading of David's heart. I was also upright before him and have kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore, the Lord hath recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanliness in his eyesight. He was an abomination in what he did, but his heart never really wanted to go there. The entire time, the spirit man's crying out, no, don't. Oh, but she's so beautiful. Look at her. You know, how many times, Christian, have you been in the situation where that little soft voice is ringing inside you? Don't, you know, this is not right.
You kind of feel the jelly legs a little bit.
Yes, yes, absolutely. This is not right. But who wins? The flesh man wins. But the heart was never going along with it. That is the only thing that you have when you stand before God, is the fact that your heart never wanted to, because this flesh is an abomination. Therefore, the Lord hath recompassed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanliness in his eyesight. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself mercy, and with the upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure wilt thou show thyself pure, and with the forward thou shalt show thyself unsavory, unpleasant. And the afflicted people thou wilt save, but thine eyes are upon the haughty, that thou mayest bring them down. For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop. By my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him, a shield to all them that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord, and who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and my power, and he maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon my high places. Yes, God has forgiven all that David did because of his heart. His heart never wanted to go there, but he paid a big price in his flesh. And you will too, Christian. Every time you ignore that little voice inside you, you will pay, and you can make a record of it. When that voice says, don't do it, and you do it, write it down, because you're going to feel something in your life very shortly. You know, sickness, disease, economic disaster. You know, depending on the size of the sin is the size of what happens.
Most people miss it whenever little things do happen.
Oh, yeah.
Like that.
Yeah. I have done things in my life, and I have...
You just know?
Oh, my gosh. Yep. I know why this is happening. Yep. I know why this is happening.
Yes,
what are you? Stupid man. You knew better. You told yourself not to do it.
Yeah. Then you can't even be mad.
No. Say, no, I'm going to try not to do that again. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken in mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies and destroyed them, and turned not again unto I had consumed them. And I have consumed them and wounded them, and they could not arise. Yea, they are fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength to battle. Them that rose up against me hath been subdued under me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. They looked, but they none to save, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them as small as dust. And let's go back to 42. Mm-hmm. They looked, but there was none to save. even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. You know?
So they looked everywhere, even to God.
Yes. So yes. Christians often struggle against Christians in situations. Mm-hmm. In law, whatever.
We'll be back with more spiritual insights on Between the Lines after a brief message from our sponsors. Stay tuned.